this week we have the account of Jesus telling the Herodians that they ought to pay taxes to Caesar. It's found in Matthew 22, verses 15 to 22. Law and gospel, we always want to find excuses not to do those things that we ought, especially when it comes to obeying those in authority. We don't like to do it. We want to find reasons not to. You can relate this to the kids. They don't know so much about paying taxes, but obviously they do often disobey their teachers and their parents. And at the heart here, we have the exact same attitude. God's law condemns such an attitude that is always looking for excuses to disobey his commandment. This is especially true, of course, with the fourth commandment, which is really what we're dealing with here today. The gospel. There isn't any direct gospel in the account itself. However, you certainly can emphasize that where we have disobeyed the fourth commandment and often dishonor those in authority, Jesus was obedient in all things, both to his Father in heaven, to his parents, and to the government. And he did that in our place. He was obedient in our place. We see him being obedient to the government in this account. We know how when he was 12 and visited the temple, the Bible says he went home and was subject to his parents in all things. And the Bible in numerous places points out how he was obedient to the Father. Not only was he obedient to the Father in our place, fulfilling this law, the fourth commandment, and all laws in our place, but he was obedient even to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And in his obedience to his Father, he died for our sins. So even though there's no direct gospel in the account itself, it's certainly not hard to bring it in. Summary of and goal of our lesson, Jesus wants us to honor those in authority, even when we don't think that they are doing what is right. Even still, we should honor and obey them as we would Jesus himself. The one and only one exception is if they command us to do something directly contrary to God's word. And even then, we still honor them, even though we maybe don't obey them in that one specific instance. The fact that a government might tell us to do something that's contrary to God's word does not give us the right to rebel against that government or authority in other aspects. It only gives us the right, or not right, but we should not honor or obey them in that one particular instance. And Daniel is a great example of this, where he was constantly a humble and obedient and serving both King Nebuchadnezzar and later on the kings of Persia. Even though they often tried to tell him to do things that were contrary to God's word. When they tried to command him to do something contrary to God's word, he did not do it. He did not worship the statue, right? He did not bow down and pray to the king. He remained faithful to the Lord. However, when he was disobedient, he was still respectful and honoring the government. And that's what Jesus is teaching us. And that's what Scripture is teaching us here today. Titus 3:1 reminds us, remind them to be subject to rulers and authority, to obey and to be ready for every good work. In Romans 13:1-2, Paul says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. This entire lesson really boils down to an object lesson about the fourth commandment. So it certainly would be a good idea maybe to start with a review of the fourth commandment and what God says there. Let's take a look at the scripture. Matthew 22, verse 15. Then the Pharisees went and plotted how they might entangle him in his talk. Notice they didn't actually want the answer. Their goal wasn't to seek understanding of Scripture. They were already convinced that they should not pay taxes. Their goal was to catch Jesus saying something they could use to accuse him before the Roman government. And nothing would work as well to accuse him before a Roman governor as to catch him saying that the people shouldn't pay taxes. Rome didn't really care about much with regard to its territories that it ruled over. And they pretty much let the people in Israel and in the other territories rule themselves. The one thing that Rome demanded was that they pay their taxes. Any country or people who paid their taxes pretty much got along just fine with Rome. But people who did not, of course, Rome had that's when Rome would come down on them. So the Pharisees, of course, are being very hypocritical, and Jesus is going to point this out. They themselves did not believe that they should pay taxes, but they're trying to use that and trying to trick Jesus into saying that so that they can accuse him before the Roman governor and get him condemned to death. Their plan is kind of two ways here, because on the one hand, they're hoping that he will say you should not pay taxes, so that they can use that against him before the Roman governor. On the other hand, however, if Jesus went the other way and said, oh, no, you should pay taxes to Rome, they can use that against Jesus in the sight of the people, because they, the Pharisees, had convinced a lot of the people that they shouldn't pay taxes. And so they're hoping they can use that to prove to the people that they shouldn't listen to Jesus. Verse 16. Then they sent to him their dispute with the Herodians, saying, Teacher, we know that you are true and that you teach the way of God in truth, nor do you care about anyone, for you do not regard the person of men. So remember that the Herod, King Herod, the first King Herod, was actually an Edomite. He was not a Judean. He tried to claim that he was a Judean and that therefore he had the right to rule over Judea and Israel, but he was not. And so a lot of people saw Herod as a usurper, as a external conquering king, and wanted to get rid of him. The Pharisees didn't really like having him as king. However, there was a group that agreed, and there was a group there, a political group that sided with Herod and did want him as king, and so this was the Herodians. They were Jews who supported Herod. Now, we're not talking about Herod the Great anymore. This is his grandson by this point, who's ruling over Galilee. So it's not the first Herod. Nevertheless, you do have this political party that does still support Herod. So the Pharisees and the Herodians were natural enemies. They didn't really get along. They didn't really like each other. But they both agreed that they needed to get rid of Jesus, and so they're kind of combining forces at this point. Notice, however, the Pharisees do not come themselves, but they send people with the Herodians. They don't want the people thinking that they're buddy-buddy with the Herodians, even though they're working together to catch Jesus. Notice also the flattery they use. Oh, you teacher, we know how great and smart you are. And they're trying to get Jesus off his guard and hope that he'll give them the answer that they want so that they can trap him. Verse 17, tell us therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Again, notice the words they use. Is it lawful? They're attempting to claim that it is against God's word. When they say, is it lawful? They're asking according to the law of Moses. So they're asking if God's word teaches the people not to pay taxes. And again, the Pharisees, this is what they thought. They thought that God's word, that people who are loyal to God would not pay taxes to Rome. Jesus, however, is going to point out that they are the ones who are being disobedient by not paying taxes. That not only is it not against the law of Moses, but that in fact the law of God, obedience to the law of God, would mean honoring and obeying those in authority, even the Romans. And therefore, by refusing to pay taxes and dishonoring Caesar, they are dishonoring God. Far from it being against the law of Moses, God's law makes it clear that they should be doing that. Now that's what we're going to see here in a minute. Verse 18 through 22. But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me the tax money. So they brought him a denarius. And he said to them, whose image and inscription is this? They said to him, Caesar's. And he said to them, render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God. And when they heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. So they thought, again, remember, they thought that by not paying taxes, they were honoring God. But Jesus shows that is not the case, that they are dishonoring God with their attitude, and that they ought to, this belongs to Caesar. It's his inscription. He printed it. It's coming from him. You should give it back to him. And in the same way, those things that come from God, you should give back to God. Herodians, just a little bit of review of some of the vocabulary here. Herodians were the Jews who supported Herod, not necessarily Rome, although they did in general support Rome because Herod was allied with Rome. But they weren't necessarily happy about Rome being in control, but they did support Herod. Caesar, the name for the Roman emperor. Hypocrites, people who speak one way and act another. Denarius, a coin that was worth one day's pay and was also used to pay taxes. Inscription, obviously, the writing on the coin, or in this case, actually a picture of Caesar. Why do we pay taxes? The Jews, of course, had many excuses for not paying taxes and even rebelling and fighting against the Roman government. And they thought that these excuses were from God's word itself. Jesus, however, shows that despite all our excuses, and we are very good at coming up with excuses why we shouldn't pay taxes, or we shouldn't pay as much taxes as the government says, oh, they're overcharging us. We're really good at finding reasons to complain and grumble about paying taxes, and in general, to complain and grumble about honoring, respecting, and obeying those in authority. Jesus, however, pushes all of those excuses aside. He says, this is what belongs to Caesar. This is what belongs to God. And so you could ask the kids, well, what excuses do you sometimes give yourselves, maybe just in your mind, maybe the kids don't say it out loud, for not honoring and obeying your parents? Some of the excuses we come up with for not honoring and obeying those in authority, of course, are, well, we think they're wrong, so why should we do what they say? Oh, they're not really good people because, look, they did this or they did that. I don't agree with them. They messed up. Well, these are just some of the examples. Make sure, try and get the kids to think of some on their own and talk about it. Now, is this what God wants? Does he want us coming up with excuses not to obey and honor those in authority? No. God wants us to obey and honor those in authority even when we think they're wrong, unless it is directly contrary to God's word. Not just contrary to the way we normally do things in worship, but contrary to God's word. That's important. Why does God want us to honor and respect those in authority? Well, one reason is because God is a God of order and authority. 1 Corinthians 14:33 reminds us God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. And we already looked at Romans 13, let every soul be subject to the governing authority. We sometimes have this false idea that in a perfect society, we wouldn't need a government and wouldn't have a government. But God's word shows us that that is not the case. God's word shows us that there is government authority and hierarchy in heaven. God himself, it starts with God himself as the supreme being. And in fact, it was this rebellion against this idea of authority and government that first led Satan to rebel against God because he wanted to be in charge himself and was thrown out of heaven. So evil comes from the rejection of government. A perfect society does not lack government, but a perfect society has a perfect government, a government which serves the people rather than themselves. And so that's what we're going to, you know, see in heaven. The Bible makes that very clear. And so we ought to honor and respect authority because that is what is from God. That is the way that God created us and made us, and that's what God says is good. Another reason is the fourth commandment comes with a blessing. It's the only commandment that comes with a blessing. Honor your father and your mother that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. God promises earthly blessings through respect and honor for authority, respect and honor for authority that begins with our parents. God uses those in authority to give up many, many blessings. This is especially true when you're a child. Pretty much everything you have in life comes from your parents. When you get older, you start to work and make things on your own, but still a lot of the blessings that we enjoy come from the government. Just think about all the things we would not have without the government. Peace, for sure. The roads that make it so easy for us to travel around. A lot of the infrastructure, a military to protect us. The laws that help stop crime and other things. Firemen, firefighters, right? There's so many things you could go on and on. So many blessings that God gives to us through those in authority. When we think about the authority of the church, the pastors and teachers and the elders, God gives us his word and reminds us and teaches us about his word through those in authority. So when we rebel against authority, when we reject authority, when we don't listen and honor authority, we're cutting off God's blessings from ourselves. If we rebel against the government and decide to establish our own little nation, you're forsaking and cutting off the blessings that come from that government. And we ought to honor and respect authority because through it, God provides so many of his blessings, and without it, we would miss out on quite a bit. Thirdly, and most importantly, of course, is because God has asked us to do it, and out of love and trust for God, we ought to do it. And Jesus takes it a bit further in our Sunday school lesson today, and he says that we owe it to God. We owe to God honor, respect, glory, praise for all that he's done for us. And we also owe to God respect and honor for those whom he has placed in authority, as Romans 13 tells us. The government, even the Roman government, as terrible as it was, and some awful things that the Roman government did, nevertheless, God still says that authority represents me. Not when they're doing bad things. God doesn't want them doing bad things. But in general, it does anyway. And so when we fail to honor and respect the authority, we are failing to honor, respect, and love God. Jesus says, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are their God's. So you could kind of end with, or at some point in here, you could kind of talk to the kids about, okay, what do we owe the government? It's not just taxes that God, that Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about everything that we owe to the government. Taxes, also obedience and respect. We shouldn't get angry. For example, when a police officer pulls us over, you know, he's doing his job. We should respect him and be thankful that he's out there doing his job, keeping the roads safe. What do we owe our parents? What do we owe God? Well, God created us, gave us everything that we have, and redeemed us. And so we owe him quite a bit. And how can we show our thanks to him? By reading his word to receive that salvation and by coming to church. Lord's blessings on your Sunday school lesson. Let me know if you have any questions.